Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can listen live, or you can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Glad that he is with me. As always, you can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day. How was your Father's Day? I have to ask. How was your Father's Day
yesterday? Well, Father's Day was great. My dad was supposed to be in a baseball tournament. That ended up not being the case. So because of that, my dad, my youngest brother and one of my dad's friends, we all got to play golf at the place that he taught us to play golf at. So we
very had a, nice, very cool.
We had a fun day. Then we went over to my parents' house, did a little swimming with my daughter, and then mainly she just played in the water and then wanted to eat all of my mom's food. So that's what we did on Father's Day. We were very lucky, very blessed. My wife got a cool painting of the course that I grew up on. So I that was a very good gift. I guess technically my daughter gave it to me because my wife was not supposed to give me anything for Father's Day. So that was kind of the rule. But nonetheless, good time had by all. Let's tell everybody we got coming up on the program. Coach Hurd's on the road, so he's going to join us here for the first segment. We'll get his thoughts. And of course, as I was mentioning, George, during Father's Day, when I got to the second tee, my phone was blowing up. And at that point, that is when I had realized when my youngest brother was like, did you know about this? And then he showed me the Desmond Bane trade. I said I did not, but I presume that is why my phone is going nuts. And indeed, that was the case. So we'll get Coach Hurd's thoughts about that. Also, his boy SGA was absolutely fabulous in game three in a had-to-have-it situation, it felt like, for the Thunder. So I'll of course, give him his flowers for that. Jason Munn's going to join us during the next segment like he does each and every Monday. We'll get his thoughts on Pete Thamel's latest column about realignment and the possibility of the Tigers joining the Pack in football only and then the Big East in all other sports. So we'll figure out what the complications of that could be, how real he thinks that is, because this is something we talked about last week, and he was pretty adamant about the fact that all options were on the table, and we'll see just indeed how real he thinks this possibility is for the Tigers. We'll get into the list during hour number two. It was a great weekend of other sports. Of course, the U.S. Open. Many are out there saying the real U.S. Open finally showed up again. That was great to see. J.J. Spaun, I think, was a emotional, popular winner, so we'll get into that. Also, George and I got to talk about the Canadian Grand Prix. I mean, that was... Oh, Lando.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lando. At least he's good looking. At least he's rich. He's got that going for him. Then excited to have Lawrence Dockery. Lawrence is going to also be with us next week in studio, but Lawrence will be our soccer expert as we get ready for the World Cup heading into next season. But of course, we got the Gold Cup. The men's national team was in a bad, bad spot, although yesterday they had a dominant performance over Trinidad and Tobago. So we'll get his thoughts on where the national team is, all of the Christian Pulisic drama. We'll discuss that and more with Lawrence when he joins us around 3:30. We'll tell your story and then we'll get out of here. But now let's welcome on the head coach and team director of Team Thad, of course, of the Nike EYBL circuit. Heard, before we talk big picture NBA stuff, where's Team Thad this weekend? Are we at Peach Jam yet?
No, so we're not at Peach Jam yet, okay. Jeff. I don't know if you remember, Jeff, but at your school, your grade school, MUS, June is kind of like when they go back for team camps.
Oh, yeah. That was when I got paid every summer. I don't know if we actually called it the Jerry Peters Classic then, because Coach Peters was still coaching then. But that was always, little fella, here you go. Here's your check. Now run the scoreboard and keep the book, and I don't want to hear any mistakes. Love, Coach. Thank you, Coach.
No, so, Jeff, what I'm at in June, I don't know if you remember, every now and then, Sean Williams or Thad or Beta, and they have to leave early. So I was at NBA camp. Matter of fact, when Jason and John, I talked to them last week, I was in Charlotte at NBA camp. This week is Nike Elite 100. I actually, to make sure I had a clear signal, I actually just pulled over. But so I'm in St. Louis for this week coming up. So that's where I'm at, Nike Elite, where that's the best sophomores and freshmen in the country.
So, and the 100 would imply to me not everybody's going, so they're just inviting this is the high end of the high end?
Yes, around the country, yes, sir. So they do it at St. Louis University every year or whatever. So that's where it's been at for Nike. So, yep, that's what's going on this week.
Okay, so we wish you and your boys well and hope that they keep rising up the ranks. All right, so I told George, I was on the second tee yesterday, and my phone just starts absolutely blowing up, and we get the news that indeed, from Sham Sharania, the Grizzlies have traded Desmond Bane. The trade itself is Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, 4 unprotected first-round picks, and 1 first-round pick swap. That means the Grizzlies, at least on paper right now, are back in the draft for this. I guess it's next week, right? I think the draft's next week, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's next week. So they're right now back at 16th in the draft. They also get the 2026 first-round pick from Orlando, which also includes the swap rights with Phoenix or Washington. So whoever has the worst team in 2027 or 2026, I should say the worst pick, that will go to the Grizzlies, a 28 and a 30 unprotected first round selections. And then the pick swap in 2029 is top 2 protected. But mainly that means Desmond Bane is now headed to the Magic. When you found out about the deal, what was your initial reaction?
Well, you know, you kind of been not getting on me, but I guess I've been getting caught up in so much fake stuff. Now I got to keep an eye up, right? And so for the first
one of those ones where I think if the only reason why I don't get caught up on the fake stuff is because it was I'm set up from the notification. I'm not blaming you. This is the internet culture. There's so many people out there that think it's funny and love to troll. They love to just throw like fake stuff out there, and I just have to make sure that I don't get caught up in it.
Yeah. So what I do now is, like I guess some of us do, go to some of the credible sources on Twitter once you see one thing, or go almost like give some foolish news going on, yeah, right, in the world. If World Starings hit it yet, or you know, places like TMZ, you like, I don't know if this is true. This is too big of a story. So that's kind of how I do with some sports. So I went to respectable sports pages, I continue to do it. Because I know this probably didn't get you, Jeff, but you know, some people, I see it on their page congratulating. Some people thought Kevin Durant was going to the Spurs last week or something. I don't know if y'all saw.
Yeah, I think that was the result of he had announced his desired locations, but I think that was the story. It was like San Antonio, Miami, and George was Houston the third.
Houston.
Yeah. Houston, yeah.
I was having to do that off the top of my head. But yeah, like it wasn't the news that he was going to any of this. It's like all that was announced. That's kind of the other thing. We're in this day and age where stuff that's not really news, like nothing happened. He just said he gave out a list. Like once upon a time, Damian Lillard gave out a list and then he wound up in Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee wasn't on that list.
Exactly. But somebody put it out. But to the Desmond Bane thing, once I saw it was true, I was like, whoa, who are we getting? And then when I seen, what's the guy that played with the Lakers from Georgia?
KCP.
From Orlando. Yeah, Casey. Yeah, when I seen him and I seen Cole, I'm like, great, right? But then I was like, okay, I think it's even or we won. When I seen how many picks that Memphis got, that was a kind of, before I get into how much of a loss did, I was like, whoa, that was pretty good negotiate. Because if I seen it right, it's potentially four first-round picks.
I think it's going to be four first-round picks with the – George, I thought it's four and a pick swap.
It is. It's four and a first-round pick swap.
So you're getting four first-round picks, and then you're getting the rights to have a better first-round pick of your first pick.
And I feel like that was unbelievable getting done. You know, you had a lot of Mavs fans on Twitter mad. Like,
oh,
people
yeah.
like – Luka didn't even get that. How does Desmond Baines, you know, and sometimes it's where you at the moment. It ain't what you worth, it's what somebody willing to pay. This is what the old saying is. So I think it works for both parties. I know what Orlando trying to do. They want a bet. They want a guy that's still, you know, because they got a good core they got together. And so I think they think Desmond Baines or a guy like that is, you know, can do some things to take them to the next level.
Yeah, he's at the right age, too, for them, 26. So he lines up with the age timeline of their guys that they have right now.
For sure. Memphis, I think Cole is a big pickup because I think he's a borderline NBA starter. And with Ja having to miss some times and he got that grit, I think that piece is a lot more important than the average fan might not know. But with them coming with so many, you know, draft picks, I think it was pretty good. I mean, it hurts for Desmond to lead, though, because I think he was a part of what we needed. You know, kind of how Boston let Smart go. I think you could do that as good as Smart was, but you could see, we still got enough without him. I think Baines was a very big part to what we were doing, so this is a little different, right? So I think it hurt from that standpoint, but I do see good things out of it, too.
Yeah, I think the way that I looked at it was it kind of sucks from the perspective of one of my big complaints on this team is I don't know how many dogs they have and how many guys that, like, push comes to shove, like, really care. Dez was in that category. I mean, I think back to the play-in game against Golden State when really the Grizzlies were kind of teetering on getting blown out of the door, you know, just absolutely run out of the building. And Dez just, like, had that look in his eye and he's like, not under my dead body. And fought back. But I think it really speaks to the point that you're making where this was the rare opportunity where Orlando really wanted a guy like Dez. They needed a catch and shoot guy. They're so bad from three, and he's a guy that helps them. And because of that, I think they were a little bit more willing to part with some pieces. And then I think what it really speaks to, and this was something, you know, you and I have been talking about this for the last couple of months, where I just don't know under this CBA if you're going to be able to really get the three high-paid guys and have enough depth to actually be a contender. Because what we're seeing is, you know, you look at Indiana. Indiana's got Halliburton and they got Pascal on $40 million salaries. I think they're both like 42. But then after that, like Miles Turner, everybody else is either $20 million and under. But that allows them to have really good depth because it feels like those teams are largely, their depth is filled out by guys in that $12 to $20 million range that's giving them the high quality players. And what we saw with the Grizzlies was like after Ja, Jaren, and Dez, man, it was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of having to try to put it together with rookies and cheap deals. And I think this is designed to give them some flexibility of, yeah, it sucks to let Dez go, and I think in an ideal world, I think they would have liked to have figured out a way to keep all three. But I think in this day and age, you're just not going to be able to have that many guys. I think you're only going to really be able to have two guys on the huge deal. And this was a way to create some flexibility. You've created a little bit of cap room, but you've now also given yourself two very tradable contracts in the sense of KCP is going to be essentially an expiring deal. He has a player option. And then Cole's on about an $8.9 million deal, I believe. Because like that's the real question. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, well, in addition to, you know, creating flexibility, I was like, they got a backup point guard. And I thought that was something they would really have. But talking to a few other people today, there's a lot of belief that Cole may not even play for the Grizzlies. And so it's just something that maybe you're packaging to either move up, move down, maybe get another vet. There's the thought of if you can package Cole with some of these assets to perhaps get your starting three. But I don't know. I mean, I guess that's kind of where I was. It's like I kind of was gritting my teeth because it's like Dez has the characteristics and the makeup of a guy that I would like to keep. But I also understand if you're going to be in this situation where you're going to have to pick two out of the three of Ja, Jaren, and Dez, I just always thought the two most likely to keep were Ja because, A, the business aspect, you know, Ja is box office. But I also think Ja's the type of guy that you're better off banking on him having a healthy season because if he's at his best, no one else can touch him. And then I thought Jaren, just because uniquely what he provides defensively, kind of what he provides all the way around, I thought he would be the more likely guy to hang on, and Dez kind of would be odd man out.
You know what, Jeff? I kind of agree, but this might, you know, sound a little different. Although he would probably be the odd man out, I think most people thought he was also the safest one, too, if that made sense. Like, you really never heard him in trade rumors. Although, you know, there's a lot of playing on the internet and a lot of lying, you get Ja trade rumors all the time. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong internet.
No, I actually think that's – you are – I don't think you're wrong. Because that was the other thing about yesterday was you could tell the national reaction immediately was, well, this is the Grizzlies blowing it up. This is their first sign. And I don't believe that's the case. I do believe what this is the Grizzlies saying is we are trying to figure out a new way to build a contender. But I definitely think a part of it is that when you put Ja trade rumors in a headline, it's much more likely to get attention than Desmond Bane trade rumors. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just going to be more red.
For sure. Like, you hear some Triple J stuff. But, and I think it was just the Grizzlies, too, just to be transparent. I feel like although we had a good run and you create family with people, I mean, I've been new Desmond Bane. A lot of people don't know this. I had Jalen Fisher, which was a top point guard in the country at TCU. TCU took a chance on Desmond when he was going to post. Like, he didn't have an offer. He was going to prep school his senior year. Jamie Dixon got the job. So I've been knowing him since then. He was just at our gym at the Grizzly Camps at Shoot 360 last week. So we love Desmond, right? But I think in this day and age, it's not going to be like how the Spurs were back in the day no more, even how we did grit and grind. I think if you don't shake it up, you're not trying, actually. I think that's how I looked at these days. If you don't, and I know it's going to hurt somebody by doing it, but unless you're a team that's consistently making it to the Western Conference Final and the ship, I think outside you have to switch it up. I mean, Jeff, as much as – I mean, I'm trying to go back on a diet today, but, I mean, I can't eat grilled chicken every day. Like, I got to find – you know, I got to find something else to still fix the job and maybe even do it on a higher level. So I think the Grizzlies was at that point where they had to do something, I think.
No, I think you're right, because there was also this, you know, we talked about how are you going to kind of build back fan enthusiasm? And when you thought about, well, what can they actually do in the offseason, there really wasn't a whole lot of room when you think about, like, what they were limited by contractually. So at first I was like, well, maybe you bring in a new coach that kind of shakes things up. They make the decision, no, We brought in Isolo. We want to try this. We believe in this. We're going to go with that. And so from a fan perspective, it probably more than anything just kind of leads fans to be like, all right, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like no one's really excited, but no one really was like killing it either. Like it was just kind of, all right, well, whatever. Well, I don't think most people are excited to see Desmond Bane go. I think they are excited to see, all right, it felt like the Grizzlies are trying to do something rather than just say, like, we're just going to run it back. Because there was kind of this weird mixed message from Kleiman at the end of the year in which we're not good enough, but it felt like their MO was going to be, well, we're just going to kind of run it back and see if we can be better. And I think now there's clearly you see, like, they are making decisions and they're trying to figure out ways to make the roster better. And I think that has actually created a little bit of excitement amongst fans.
You said it, Jeff. I'm not saying it's fan pressure. And let's say this was a move to hurt the Grizzlies, right? I mean, let's say we'll never know.
I think it's fair to say this. As of this morning, the Grizzlies are not a better team. Now, I also don't think this is the last move, but if you just look at what they've done, I don't think they're better today than they were yesterday, but I also don't think that's going to be the end of it.
Exactly, but I say this is where you know basketball, that it is fans that are excited, like you said, just because they did something.
Yeah.
And they don't – people want to see stuff. Different people want to see things at times. So, yeah, I was going to say that. I don't think they're better. And that's – that's really tough to say today, too, because Cartwell might could come give his team some championship veteran leadership that we don't have. You know what I mean?
And then, he is the only guy I know in Grizzlies history that has been to prison.
Really?
Yeah, remember, was it the Lakers stint, George? I think there was before.
I mean, he had what's the name on his ankle or something?
I think he actually did some time. I think it was kind of a BS thing.
See, I thought that was Beasley. He went too.
Yeah, I thought KCP did.
Oh yeah,
I thought KCP just got the monitor on his ankle or something.
I thought there was stories. When he was before, like at the Lakers, didn't he have?
Oh, this was like way long ago before the Lakers. He served a 25-day jail sentence when he was 24 for a parole violation on a DUI.
Yeah,
but he was allowed work release for games and practices.
There you go. Yeah. So that I've said I wanted some attitude.
I mean, he does have two rings.
Some attitude now. The problem with KCP is there is the question of did, and I don't fault him for this. How much of him getting paid was he got a free agent deal after playing with Jokic? Because it's like his numbers with Jokic and his numbers without Jokic are very different.
That's true. And then the first payment he got was with LeBron.
Yes, so. Again, I don't fault a man who's an opportunist.
No, you don't. But he's going to have to stand on his own, too. And guess what? Maybe he does well with Ja Morant because KCP.
Sure.
Was that the Denver series? It's hard when, you know, LeBron because the spotlight on you. But I remember watching the series. They won the championship. And he hit big shot after big shot and made a lot of threes in that series.
Him and Caruso were both massive in those series.
Exactly. So maybe he come here and do, because when you say we need a starting three, we have locked him in as the two, right? Is that what you meant?
So I think that's right, because it seems like KCP is going to start the year on the team. Now, who knows what other deals? It felt like yesterday the momentum from people that knew was they would be surprised if Cole Anthony started the year with the team. They would not be surprised if KCP did.
Yeah, I wonder, Cole Anthony's still a young, good player. I wonder, to me, it got to be something that really...
I think it's really more of they feel like at his price, he could be a very movable piece. I don't think it's a reflection of him, the player. I think it's more of... It's actually kind of like a implicit, tip of the cap of him as a player, but basically saying, we don't we're not going to overcrowd the backcourt. We think he's a good player. We think he has some value because he's on a friendly deal with a team option the next year. Who wants this piece? And what will you give us for him?
But do they think, this is my thought on that, Jeffrey, whoever they're getting with the picks, they think he's going to be that much better? Because if it's just a regular player, do he make us better, though?
So,
because who is this, him and Pippen, right? Or is it somebody else I'm missing?
No, I mean, that's right. Right. I mean, they've got a two-way guy, but, I mean, how real you can make that, I don't know. I think this is kind of – it seems to me that the plan, and who knows if how well you can execute this, the plan would be attach Cole Anthony to some of these assets. I know yesterday a Santi sign-and-trade was included, but at the same time, there are some people that are thinking, well, this created more room for possibly paying Santi. But the idea would be you package Cole with some other stuff to possibly get your starting three.
Gotcha. Okay. And that's whether it's Santi, GG, somebody like that.
Correct. Now, I think that's always the problem. Like, I don't know about you, but I just feel like when teams have a starting caliber three, they're not really quick to give up on them because everybody wants a wing that can play D and shoot. And when you find one, you don't really give them up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are the names you hearing that may be available when they was talking about it?
George,
ones I've kind of heard are not exactly ones that I would be going after. Of course, we hear all the stuff coming out of Phoenix.
Yesterday there was a lot of people trying to get Durant here.
Cam Johnson is still coming up from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
one that I would love that.
There was the thought of they were close on a Cam Johnson deal before, but couldn't quite get there. The thought is now they have the assets to maybe go get Cam Johnson.
Yeah, that's up there. I would like Brooklyn to see someone like Najee Marshall. I really like him out of Dallas.
Yeah,
and now they're gonna have a lot of those wings because.
Because, yeah.
They just have a lot of them, and they're going to draft Cooper.
Cooper Flags.
Yep. So I mean, it also, like a P.J. Washington type?
It also brings him back into the draft. Harrington today said he would be surprised if they picked at 16. He thought it was more likely that they wouldn't pick at 16 than not. But, you know, in that 16 range right now, you're kind of looking at, like, the Liam McNeely's, the Jace Richardson's, Asa Newell at Georgia. You're kind of looking at those guys, but I don't know if you've stated you're trying to get older, I don't know if your plan is, well, let's try to fix this all in the draft, but those are names that you're back in the picture of, at least from today looking on.
Yeah, it looked like we got some work to do, Jeff, because like you say, those guys are good. But that go against what we need, and right now in the NBA game is like, even the number of names you just named, people don't give up on their threes, like you said. And it's like, do we give up Cole and Santi and a lot of access, you know, for those guys? It's like, I don't know. So it's going to be, ain't the draft, what, next week?
Yeah, I think it's next Thursday. I'm pretty sure.
It's going to be fun and interesting. Yeah, this is going to be fun and interesting. But the Grizzlies definitely got to make one move because the fans are excited. But one thing you don't want starting off bad next year because then it gets even uglier.
Oh, yeah, because then if you trade Desmond Bane and, yeah, it starts off poorly, yeah, I'm with you. All right, before we let you go, I text you on Friday, so it's not as if I didn't let you know. But your boy SGA was incredible in Game 4 because that really did feel like they were their title hopes, everything was hanging in the balance. It felt like Indiana had largely outplayed them for three quarters. And honestly, in the fourth quarter, it felt like Indiana was still getting the better of them. But that was one guy that was basically saying, I will not be denied. I am going to take over this game. And he showed why he was the MVP of the league this year. Like, that was an incredible fourth quarter.
Yeah, those last 3-4 minutes were so incredible. I actually went to sleep at some point. Not because the game was boring. I liked the viewership. I just went to sleep. Just an old guy on the couch just fell asleep, right?
Yeah, I mean, that can just – that. In fairness to us, that could just happen at our age now.
Yeah.
Like, you can even be into it, and you're just like, oops.
Yeah, a long day. I fell asleep. So, with 4 minutes to go, I see the Pacers were still up. I wish I would have stayed asleep because I'm kind of rooting for the Pacers as much as I like SGA. I don't know if you knew that or whatever. I'm still an underdog type of guy. And it's like the last 3 minutes, OKC was just so tough, and SGA was, and they made every play. And it's like he looked more of, like, what's my guy name? Aaron.
Wiggins, the other Wiggins.
No, Aaron, and no, for the Pacers.
Neesmith. Andrew Nembhard, you know, Aaron Neesmith.
Aaron Neesmith.
It's confusing because you have A and M's, and they're both N-E, but yes.
So, you know, he's a really good defender. They started, like, trying to pick on him as the switch man, and it was working to a certain extent, you know, because usually the other one, yeah, I'm confused now, the light-skinned one holds SGA,
yeah.
You know.
Nembhard,
the
yeah.
The other one pretty good, too, because he holds Jaylen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And, man, I don't know. That last 2-3 minutes, it was unbelievable. I think it was a must-win game for OKC. I think if Pacers would have won, it was over with. And I was rooting for Pacers that game. But now I think it's the correct opposite. They didn't got home game back. So tonight is must-win for the Pacers.
Yeah. I mean, I know technically, hey, you can come back in game 6 and win at home and then get it to a game 7. Anything could happen. But I don't know. To me, like, that felt like a massive win for the Thunder, because I've said on the show that I felt like the series has mirrored the Denver series, where Denver snuck up on them game 1 and stole a game, and then they win their first game at home in game 3. They're up 2-1, and they were just kind of in a dogfight, and the fact that the Thunder were able to, like, go and steal home court back, like, I don't know. It just felt like it flipped the series to me back in their favor.
No, you're right, Jeff. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's exactly like the Denver. To me, the Pacers can only win this series if they win it in 6. If it go to 7.
If they can steal tonight and then get back at home. Yeah, I can buy that.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it go to 7, I think it's all OKC with the MVP at his home.
All right, my man. Good luck to you and your guys.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, George.
That is Coach Hurd. Again, he's at the Nike Elite 100 camp up in St. Louis. When we come back, let's turn our attention to the Tigers. How real is the possibility of playing in the Pac in football, whatever we're going to call it? I don't know. It's not the Pac-12, but we're keeping the Pac-12 name, I suppose. How real is it to have that possibility, football only, and then the Big East in all other sports? We'll talk about that with Munns next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, this is MS Paint, and it's a song called Think It Through.
I feel like it has, like, Foo Fighters and, like, metal, not metal core, new metal vibes. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's actually a band out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Okay, a lot of range there.
Interestingly enough, out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and they're getting a ton of good press. They're called synth punk, no guitar, only a bass and drums and a synthesizer. So
are they like Kane, where you thought they were playing a guitar, but they were like running the keyboards through amps and synthesizers? Is that what they're doing?
Yes, lots of tricks, because I mean it's you know, as you could tell, it sounds like, you know, some heavy stuff, but really it's just a synthesizer. So,
well, we thank you for that addition.
Yeah, man, it's kind of giving me a album came out in 2023, they just put out a new EP. So
George is doing album reviews every week. So what were you saying? The vibes
gave me a Clutch vibes a little bit.
Does that mean anything to you, Munz?
I've heard of Clutch. I am familiar slightly with Clutch, but I don't know enough about Clutch to be able to.
They're like an older school, you know, mid late 90s punk that kind of evolved as it got into the 2000s. Added some more synth.
Okay.
Heavy riff kind of action.
There you go. That's why George is reviewing albums every week, and I'm talking about whether or not the Tigers are going to go to the Pack in football and everything else, all other sports, the Big East. I guess let's start there, because, you know, it's something we talked about last week of, you know, how realistic were some options and others. And you had pointed out that Ed Scott's been very clear and you don't think that it was lip service. All options are on the table. I feel like it's a little bit different when Pete Thamel writes about it yesterday. And we got the, as Justin Moore this morning implied, like he's like, you kind of got a compliment in the first paragraph and then it felt like, where's the butt coming? It was the idea that the Tigers are of the G5 possibilities. They're one of the most desirable, but that doesn't seem to be where people are looking. And so that, I would presume, creates a dilemma for the Tigers and, okay, how do you navigate this landscape? When Pete writes about it yesterday, because I don't even know if necessarily I'd say it's a report, but, you know, when he starts putting his thoughts out there of what he's hearing, what he thinks is happening, how the landscape is shaping up, where does your mind go?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll say this. I don't think it's any coincidence that what Pete wrote was published in relatively close to the end of the national convention.
Yeah.
That's where Ed Scott, a lot of, if not all of the athletic directors were last week. The national convention was last week. So, you know, it stands to reason that conversations were had and you know, things like this were probably discussed in somewhat great detail at the convention. And it was only a matter of time before it made its way back to the media. So, yeah, I would bet this was a topic. A lot of the stuff that was written in Pete's story that he published last night, I would imagine a lot of that was discussed to varying degrees at the convention. So, you know, this is like you said, it wasn't necessarily a report, especially considering the bulk of what was written about Memphis was also written about Memphis last fall.
Yeah.
And Pete even mentioned that, that Dan Wolkin wrote about it, the idea had been floated by multiple people that, yes, Memphis is passing on the Pac-12's offer right now, but that doesn't mean necessarily that there's not a way for Memphis and the Pac-12 to connect down the line. And this is just sort of reinforcing that thought that you know, they're is a reality out there somewhere, apparently, or potential reality, where Memphis goes to the Pac-12 in football only, because that's been the biggest sticking point this entire time for Memphis and the Pac-12. It would be cost prohibitive to, you know, send the Memphis volleyball team to Pullman, Washington for what? 18 hours or 24 hours.
For basically a 2-hour volleyball match.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just one sport. That's, you know, you'd have to be doing that for every sport. And not only that, But those teams, you know, the Washington States and the Fresno States and the Colorado States, like, they'd have to repay the favor. They'd have to come to Memphis.
And by the way, like, while these are better brands than what's in the league right now, these are not super easy places to get to.
No, they're not. I mean, what? Outside of I would assume you'd be able to get to Boise reasonably easily and San Diego too. But like, yeah, outside of that, it's going to be tough sledding.
I can tell you this, having just booked a San Diego trip, you're connecting no matter what.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, you are at least at those places, at least you're getting there in one stop. With Fresno, like, I don't even know, like, I don't know, do you fly into San Francisco? Do you fly into San Jose? And like, but all these places, you're flying in somewhere and busing from there.
Yeah, and again, like, flying to those places is not like flying to Charlotte or flying to, you know, I don't know, pick a place, Tulsa.
Or even Tampa, Philly, I mean, you know.
Yeah, right. So it makes sense that we're starting to hone in on this idea that if there is a future with the Pac-12 and Memphis, it's probably with Memphis football going to the Pac-12 and all other sports go into the Big East. Now, you know, there's been this sort of thought that has, you know, every time anybody mentions the Big East and Memphis, whether it's basketball, it's mostly basketball. But anytime that is ever mentioned, you know, you get the people who say that, well, the Big East has a certain profile that Memphis doesn't fit, or the Big East, you know, sort of, for lack of a better way of saying it, looks down on Memphis.
I mean, I think it's fair to say this. I believe every school in the Big East, with the exception of UConn, is a private Catholic school.
Yes, exactly. Now, Dan Wolken had sort of like had a somewhat lengthy Twitter exchange on Twitter with someone, I believe it was either this morning or last night, saying that, you know, yes, that's all well and good. That is all very true. But like, we're sort of, you know, college athletics is entering into a place that it's never really been before. And that sort of stuff just doesn't exactly matter necessarily as much as, like, yes, it matters, but it doesn't necessarily matter as much as, you know, what college athletics is trying to do, what these conferences are trying to do in terms, like, related to college athletics. And so it doesn't matter as much as it did 10 years ago. Now, that being said, like, the decision makers when it comes to conference realignment are university presidents. And there is a notion out there, a narrative that the Big East University president kind of, if they don't now, they at least at one time did sort of look down their noses at Memphis. And that's been sort of the thought for why Memphis hasn't gotten into the Big East before. But again, college athletics is kind of going crazy right now, and it feels like all bets are off, and that could be a good thing for Memphis.
Okay, so I think the other question is, you know, there, and as Pete even writes about, you know, Memphis has looked up, and it's not necessarily that, oh, they're looking beyond just the Pac and the Big East, but their preferred would be in one home for one league. How long do you think Memphis would hold out waiting to see what ends up happening with the ACC?
Well, I mean, I think the clock is ticking on that right now. I think they've been waiting, you know, like they've been waiting for a while already as it is, you know. I don't think that they're going to be able to wait that much longer because, you know, like, you kind of got away with one a little bit. You know, some people might say that Memphis got away with one by turning down the Pac-12 last year. I think
it's fair to say this. They can still afford to pay their bills by not having made that decision.
Yes, but the thought is that, like, how many more times...
Right, can you keep telling them no before you wind up just being stuck in the AAC forever?
Yes, and possibly not even the the version of the AAC that it is now. Like you,
sure.
you keep turning people down, you're going to look over and, you know, the programs that you think of as, you know, like the ones you don't look down on or hate, they're going to bail. And, you know, you could be looking at a situation where you turn around one day and you're looking at, like, you know, I don't know what, you know, some Sun Belt or some conference
sure.
USA, reinforcements or whatever. So like, I do think that there is an element of that is kind of going along with, where things are potentially headed. Things are potentially headed, you know, if you read what Pete Thamel writes, things could be headed in a direction where it's, you know, Pac-12 for football and Big East for everything else. And it just feels like to me that, that window of waiting, because of course, again, like their goal, Ed Scott has been very outspoken and very clear that their goal is to get into a power conference. But like, it just doesn't feel like there's anything's going to shake loose super soon. And so, I think that the waiting game is nearing its end. It should be, at least. And, you know, I mean, maybe they, you know, these people, Ed Scott and Bill Hargrave and everybody else who, you know, lives and breathes this stuff for a living, you know, maybe they're thinking two or three steps down the line, like, you know, they can't necessarily, maybe they've determined that they can't necessarily jump from the American to the ACC or the Big 12, but maybe if they make this move, it will set up a move a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I also think it's fair to say this, and Jonah's also written, I believe 28 would be the soonest it could happen.
The 27-28.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Season.
27-28. That would also make some sense because most believe that is when you'll start to see movement from the Florida States of the world, from the Clemsons of the world, because the Big Ten TV deal will be up in 2030, and that's when they think most people will start getting everything in order for that next television deal. I also think this is a pretty decent, like, yeah, it's not the end goal you want, but I do think in your two primary moneymakers, football and basketball, it solidifies that you're at least, like, in the pack. Like, yeah, it's not going to be pushing the Big 12, I think, for in terms of, like, playoff cred. But I think, like, you establish, all right, we're for sure in the best of the rest of football. And then in basketball, you have the opportunity. I mean, you have the opportunity to be in a better league. And even though the Big East, I feel like a lot of their coaches have been whining and complaining that they're not getting their due. Like, it's still a significantly better basketball league than what you're in right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, it may not be what you want, but it is certainly better than what you have. And, you know, I think that goes for both scenarios, for
yeah.
football in the Pac-12 and basketball in the Big East. And you know, I'll have to do some research on what baseball is like in the Big East and some of the, you know, the Olympic sports and things like that. But in terms of football and basketball, you know, it is certainly better than what you have right now, the situation you're in right now. Now, you got to make it make financial sense.
Right.
Like,
well, that was,
know,
the other thing Jeff asked me. He's like, well, how would that work from rev sharing? And I was like, I don't know. Like, does it all go into one big pot and then
right.
the rev share is based on that? Or is it, you know, the football team gets the rev share based on the PAC money, and then all other sports would revenue share based on the Big East money? It's like, I don't know, like, but I could see where that also creates a problem.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that would be a question that would be one of the first questions, that comes up in, you know, like if it were to come to pass, that would be one of the first questions that comes up, in an interview with Ed Scott or, Bill Hardgrave, because it would seem to make for a potentially convoluted or complicated scenario, you know, a setup there. But I would imagine that they are probably in the process of looking at all that stuff right now, if they haven't already.
I think the other thing that I was kind of curious about is, how pressing do you think it is now that the university owns the Liberty Bowl? They own their own football stadium, but that also means, like, it can kind of work both ways. Like, hey, if the stadium ends up not turning a profit, that's not on you, but now it is on you. Like, how much do you think the actual butts in seats is also making Memphis evaluate their standing? Because I think when you're still kind of making money and everyone's feeling okay, you're like, all right, well, we don't have to rush into anything right now. But I do almost wonder if at a certain point you're starting to look at the bottom line and you're starting to scratch your head and you're like, can we afford to wait anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's part of it. I would imagine that that is a part of the calculus. But to me, I just feel like some of the other stuff is like, you know, when you're talking about TV deals and you know, media rights deals and things like that, I don't know how much of that is, how much of like actual butts and seats is actually factored into that. Or is it, you know, just like what your brand is worth to a TV station, as opposed to, you know, how many season tickets do they hold?
Right.
I mean, maybe, I guess they do kind of go hand in hand.
Well, they do and they don't.
Right.
But I also wonder if, like, for instance, when Missouri and A&M go to the SEC and Rutgers goes to the Big Ten, the key point at that was, were you in a cable television market that didn't exist in the conference's footprint? Okay, well, that was a metric that for a very specific point in time did matter. It no longer matters anymore. I mean, to say it's a zero is probably also a little disingenuous, but it is not the driving factor. What was the driving factor in the last was brand, 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 brand.
Right.
But now, like, it, you know, there's, as we've also seen, there's only like 12 to 15 brands that are at the level that people are talking about.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I almost wonder, it's like, hey, man, can we just, like, I almost wonder, it's like, all right, who's going to give us good games? Who's going to create scenes that we think are going to show up well and build? Like, I almost wonder if, like, there's a new metric that we're not really considering, because I don't think people also realize what TV people make their mind up about changes quite frequently.
Yeah, exactly. And I think painting before about butts and seats and like sort of, you know, reinvigorating a fan base by not having to schedule FAU and Navy and
trying to talk yourself into that the North Texas game is big time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that's again, I think that's probably part of the equation. That's probably part of the thought process. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, you know, what is going, like, are we going to make more money, or is our share of the pie going to be more than what it is now? We know Jonah reported a few weeks ago that Memphis got $11 million from the American, and that was the most of any school in the American. And that would be, I want to say, was that?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.